One thing that can be really hard for traumatized people is the pressure they feel when they make decisions. And it's easy to make terrible mistakes if your trauma has control of your thinking. The decisions you make in your life will play a huge role in how your life turns out, who you'll become, how happy you'll be. But all this can be jeopardized because PTSD from childhood can drive you unconsciously toward bad decisions. It can influence who you'll marry, who you'll break up with, where you'll work, where you quit, who your friends are, the way you express yourself when you're angry, and what you think is possible for you in your life. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. And even though you're working hard to heal and change your life, you'll find yourself sometimes making strange, self-sabotaging decisions. And it feels like you're doing something good when you're doing it. Sometimes the only evidence you have that what you're doing is destructive is that other people will try to warn you. They're like, are you sure about that? I think you're making a mistake. But because of that agitation inside from past experiences, you may have trouble reading your options accurately. Childhood PTSD does that. That's why it can be so tragic. When you get the feedback from other people that from the outside it looks like you're making a mistake, you might be inclined to dismiss it and instead blame other people and say, you're judging me, or you just don't understand. I've done that. And then you make that self-destructive choice anyway, to move in with somebody that you just met, or go back to someone who treats you badly, or go the other way and choose to isolate yourself, or to storm out of a job you actually liked and needed because your past trauma got triggered and you felt this urgent need to make the feeling stop. Have you done that? These are the decisions that change the course of your life. They cut you off from what you want, and they keep you stuck and in danger of generating even more trauma. And I call these trauma-driven decisions. Now, you thought you were doing the right thing when you're making one of those, but your trauma was distorting your perception. If you've made some decisions that were driven by past trauma, I want to help you change that pattern to look at how you know that's what you're doing and teach you how to make better decisions going forward, even if you're still in the early stages of healing from what happened to you. A trauma-driven decision is when you choose something important without being in touch with what you actually want, with your own values, or with what is in your best interest. In the moment you have to make that decision and you're thinking, oh no, I'm trapped, or I better just take whatever I can get, or I'm going to end up alone, or you submit to pressure to make a financial decision that you know on some level isn't a good idea. Now, why do we do this? I'm going to speculate it's a brain thing. It could be dysregulation, which you've heard me talk about a lot. That's the chaotic state you may have experienced when something triggers you, or you might feel flustered, or your mind might go blank. And sometimes in dysregulation, you'll react with strong emotions or even emotional numbness. And a lot of systems in your brain and nervous system are going slightly out of sync when you're dysregulated, including your mood, your thinking, your physiology. And in particular, it can complicate your thinking when you're making a decision. And this is from a study out of the University of Wisconsin. It turns out just the stress of making a decision can short circuit your reasoning. And it can make it really hard to give appropriate weight to the risk involved in the decision that faces you. You can't see the downside of it, or not accurately, not in the moment. And at the same time, the stress of the decision heightens your emotions. So let's say you're on a first date and you know you shouldn't rush in, but just the act of trying to decide what to do at the end of the evening can shut down your ability to evaluate risk and increase the emotional intensity that's telling you, oh, hell yeah, go do it. There's nothing to lose. And this can apply not just to dating, but all kinds of decisions that you make. It can prompt you to buy an expensive appliance or to tell off your boss and yell at them, give them a piece of your mind. It can prompt you to lie about something important. And in the moment, it seems like no big deal, but with CPTSD, your normal sense of what's a good idea and a bad idea can be dampened or shut down. You can't sense the potential consequences, not really. And from the outside, it looks just like plain old impulsiveness. You know, you can't delay gratification. And yes, that accurately describes it. But from the inside, here's what it feels like. Like you just want the feeling of chaotic pressure to decide to stop. And so making a decision feels like it will do that. And I want you to think about the feeling that you get when you're under pressure, when you've made an impulsive decision, because it can help you to notice when it happens again. Only this time you can say to yourself, oh, this pressure feeling again, I know it, and right now I'm in danger of making a trauma-driven decision. Just noticing this can help you pause your decision-making and use your tools to re-regulate yourself and get a reality check. We need that, because otherwise we risk making a major decision, not because it's best for us, but because our trauma was distorting things and driving us. Anger does it, hurry does it, shame does it, hating ourselves and wanting the feeling to stop does it. Because when that sadness and emptiness of CPTSD are just burning in you and something that seems like it might make you feel better appears in front of you, a person, something you buy, a vacation, there's a desperation just to feel okay. And you grasp onto these decisions for what feels like survival, or what feels like the only chance you have that one good thing that you never had will ever be yours. So it feels worth it to just go for it, no matter what happens after that. And I do understand that. I've been there, making some ridiculous sacrifice to just to feel the feeling of fulfillment just for a little while, to try to feel some dignity, to try to feel legitimate for once. And you know, on some level, it won't work out. But at least it's something instead of nothing, right? At least you're trying. So when you're in the process of deciding something destructive, it doesn't feel destructive. In fact, quite the opposite. It feels like release. Sometimes the trauma-driven decision is to say terrible things to people. It seems so necessary in the moment. And your trauma thinks, see, everyone does this to me and I've got to stop it. So you say something hurtful, or you never speak to them again. And it hurts you more than it hurts other people most of the time. But make no mistake, trauma-driven decisions can hurt other people, especially the ones who depend on you. So let's go over some of the signs that you might be making a trauma-driven decision, and then a series of possible actions you can take to get clearer before you do anything. Ready? All right. One, you're telling yourself that a situation that you're about to get into may be nowhere near what you actually want, but you're rationalizing an impulsive leap into it by telling yourself that if you don't make this decision, you'll miss out forever. Without this relationship, no one will love you, you think. Or without this job, no other place will hire you. Without this apartment, no other landlord will rent to you. So you jump in. Number two is the opposite. When you go running out on something you normally feel is a good part of your life, a job, a relationship, or friendship, you're angry, so you leave, or out of shame, you leave, or you panic, or you try to make someone see how it feels. I'll show them. Have you ever done that? Okay. Still going to go through these. We'll talk about what to do in a minute. A third kind is a trauma-driven decision when you just do the thing other people want because you're not yet strong enough to say it's not what you want. And sometimes this is people-pleasing, or sometimes it's just confusion about what you want. CPTSD can make it hard to hold that knowledge when you're in the presence of other people and what they want. And this can be especially hard if you grew up with a parent who was bullying or abusive and didn't hear you or give you a voice in making decisions for yourself. If you think you don't deserve to have a voice when you're making decisions with someone else, that could be the trauma talking, driving your decision. All right, number four, you could be making a trauma-driven decision when you find your standards for what's acceptable are going all over the place, namely down. One day you say you won't tolerate something, the next day you have some reason why this time it's okay. And we've all done that. Number five, you're accepting unacceptable things with the rationale that in the future, you will then start requiring something better. Or in the future, the other person will change. Or in the future, you will change, or you'll have different choices. And this is what I call crap fitting. It's when you fit yourself to crap. You change your expectations so you can tolerate something that would otherwise be intolerable to you. And it's very, very common with CPTSD. Number six is when you're thinking about making a tough decision, you find yourself avoiding talking to anyone because you suspect or you know that they'll see right through it and they'll call you out on it. So either you hide or lie or omit little details to avoid their judgment, basically because you're ashamed because you know the decision is not a good one. Okay, so what can you do? Here are eight things you can do. First, write down what you really want in your life. Don't omit things just because they seem impossible. And keep this as a reference when you're under stress, when you're dysregulated, and when you feel pressure to make a fast decision about something that tempts you toward accepting less than what you want. Read your list. This is what I really want. See if that gives you a course correction. Number two, slow down your decisions. People with CPTSD just do better when they have time to consider big decisions, especially if emotions like fear or lust or anger are running strong. Three, you can run decisions by a trusted friend or a mentor. And this needs to be someone who has at least some wisdom about life and who has your best interest at heart. That's what a friend is. Number four, you can do some research on your options. And this is called due diligence. You can get online, you can do some reading, you can ask people who might have faced this decision before, make some phone calls, learn about your options and what are the pros and the cons. Number five, when someone else is involved in your decision making, you can muster the courage to express your concerns about going forward. And sometimes when magical thinking is happening between two people, it only takes one person to say how they really feel or what they fear, and the magic, it vanishes mercifully. And it leaves behind the real part, which is good. Reality is where you want to be and where you want to be making decisions. Number six is, if you have to make a big decision alone, you can try thinking of someone in your life, living or dead, who loves you and cares about you, and ask yourself, given what I know today, what would they tell me to do? Or what would a person who doesn't have CPTSD do? Is this something that needs more time for me to figure out whether it's good for me? Is this good for my children? Because what's good for children is good for you. Number seven is, while you're thinking it through, check in with yourself. Some things you can ask yourself are, is there something I know but I'm trying not to see? Think about the things you really want in life. Are you choosing next steps that will keep these options possible for you? Is there anything you don't like about the choice you're considering? If the things you don't like don't ever change, what would that mean for you? Could that thing get even worse? And number eight, finally, with any choice that worries you, think for a moment if you're still able to make a different choice. With the choice that worries you, visualize what steps you'd take and what it feels like to change your mind. You might not change your mind, but at least the possibility of changing your mind is real to you and doable for you. Think it through. You can see how that feels. One great thing about healing trauma is that you have choices. And that means when you make a mistake, and we all make mistakes, you'll have the ability to see it and do something about it, and then get back on your path quickly.
Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time, and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to BetterHelp.com/CCF, as in crappy childhood fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.